when you freeze up.
Nobody got time for this.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show, a real big shoe.
You're listening to the Penns Nation Radio Show with hosts Ken Will, Joe Depto, Ashley Langlois, Andy Hughes, and Nick Richter. Guests can call into the show at 347-202-0344, or you can tweet us at the Penns Nation.
Captain's Log. January 10th, 2013. It is 11 o'clock, and this is the Penns Nation radio show. I am Joe Depto.
What?
Penns Nation radio show. It is, as you just heard, January 10th, 2013.
Oh, my God.
The guys just dropped a little surprise on me.
No. That was not in the script.
I had no idea.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
We're all in a good mood because we're getting free stuff.
That's right. Everybody, you at home get to listen to the Penns Nation show, radio show for free.
Free stuff.
Special. You're getting a sale for the lockout ending. It's 100% off the normal price would be.
So is Ken Will's clothes, by the way.
I think he shops at the toilets there.
we weren't messing around. We're usually half off because you do the show without pants. But tonight, it's all free, baby.
Wow.
And everyone just stopped listening. Thanks, yep. Ken.
Oh, come on.
I guess the big news of the day from Pittsburgh is, promotions, free stuff, handouts. The Pittsburgh Penguins will offer free selected concessions and half off all merchandise at the team's first four games at the Consol Energy Center. Every fan attending each of those games will receive a voucher for three free concession items. Fans may choose from among hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, nachos, popcorn, pretzels, salad, and fountain drinks.
All screw you if you want the French dip.
All merchandise at Penns Gear stores will be half off for the first four games. The Penns Gear store in the main lobby of Consol Energy Center and Penns Gear at Southside Works will offer the half off discount throughout the day on each of the first four home dates. Do you guys feel appeased by this? Do you feel better? Does it do something for you? Do you feel like, like all is even with you in the NHL right now?
Well, not with the NHL, but with the Penguins didn't owe us anything here. So let's be fair. And this is also something where they're not bribing fans because they don't have – it's not incentive for people to come to games because these games are going to sell out no matter what. This is 100% a give back to the fans. It's an incredible gesture, I think, on the Penguins' part that did not need to be done.
Mm. Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, as you said, we obviously know that the lockout, it hurt some people, but in the market of Pittsburgh, they're going to still sell out every single game. They know that they would still sell concessions, the merchandise, all that stuff, but they're giving back to the fans and giving them, three free concessions for the first four games and 50% off the merchandise. So I think I absolutely agree with you, Ken, that it's just a great gesture by the team. And once again, the team is giving back to the fans as they've done for many years now, whether it be the student rush or whatever it is, this team just continues to give back to the fans, even though they really don't have to.
Yeah, they don't have to, and this is just another classy move from the Penns organization. They're full of classy moves. I mean, they don't have to hand out free pizza. They don't have to do student rush. They don't have to do any of these things that they do for their fans, but they do it because they care about them. And it's just really classy and great to see.
And
there's a reason every year that the Forbes magazine article comes out, and Pittsburgh Penguins are consistently in the top five, and it's not ranked number one in fan relations.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good point. We also want to hear your take on this as a fan, whether it's of the Penguins or just a hockey fan in general. You can call the show at area code 347-202-0344. Once again, that is 347-202-0344. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. We're going to be going live until 11:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. Tell us your thoughts. Do you think this is enough? Do you think it's too much? Do you think it's just right? The one thing that I will say that the Penguins have done, I agree with all of you about this. I do think it is a class move. I think it's excellent. I think a lot of people out there forget that a lot of times professional sports teams are just like movie theaters. The tickets really don't make the team, specifically just the team, as much money as you would probably think for as overpriced as NHL tickets are. It's mostly concessions and that sort of thing that make the team a lot of money. So the fact that they're giving up a large portion of that for 16,000-17,000 people for four nights, the opening four nights, which are probably going to be, other than the postseason and the last stretch of the season, probably highest grossing in terms of advertising and all that sort of thing. So it is a big sacrifice. Other teams around the league also making significant sacrifices. Florida is offering free jerseys, free parking, and very cheap season tickets. Tampa Bay Lightning, $200. Season tickets for $200. That's insane.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I heard they're actually giving away tickets for beaver pelts in Winnipeg.
Beaver pelts.
They're bartering.
Wow.
Too bad Nashville can't afford to do anything.
Well, they match that.
We'll have Shea Weber.
Yeah. They have to sell half the city just to match that Shea Weber offer sheet for Paul Holmgren in the offseason. So there's actually, that's unbelievable. I'm curious to see in my own backyard the other, Andy and Nick are both located in Pittsburgh. I live in Columbus. I'm curious to see if the Blue Jackets will do anything because they're sort of an in-between market. They're struggling, and they're not making a lot of money. But when you're not making a lot of money, unfortunately, you can't really give up significant promotions like this. So I'm curious to see if Columbus does anything.
They've done some good things in the past. Well, I remember when Jeff Carter was traded, they had a free promotion to bring their jersey into the arena, and they would take Carter's name off of it and put on any player of your choice for free, which is awesome. Jeff Carter, what a bum. He won that Stanley Cup, but man.
He's
had some pretty shafty, shady things that he's done in his career, at least as far as loyalty to franchises go.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that likes the guy. Even Flyers fans, like when he was really playing sort of, I guess, at the peak of his career for them, he wasn't well-liked there. He came here in Columbus, he wasn't well-liked there. In Los Angeles, it was kind of like, he sort of seems like a jerk, but he just helped us win the championship, so it's, he just helped us
win the
cup. So but it's inevitable. I just feel like he's just one of those guys. His frosted tips. It's a different type of team. You have frosted tips in your hair? That's an immediate sign that he's a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Ian Moran called. He wants his haircut back.
Ian Moran, oh man.
The 90s called. They want their joke scheme back.
Right. In Columbus, I mean, in terms of their ticket prices, it's a pretty fair job for that. They have, the walk-up seats, which are like, I think, 20 or 25. I can't remember exactly. And then they have like a six-pack seat thing that they do where you pretty much get really any six games you want. They're pretty much the most popular ones. And it's $100 for pretty good upper bowl seats. So they've had some pretty fair ticket prices in the past. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure around the league for teams to do this stuff. The Pittsburgh Penguins are doing something. Tampa Bay, Florida. Apparently, Winnipeg is giving away whatever Ken Hill said they were giving away.
They're not giving away beaver pelts. They're trading beaver pelts for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you don't listen, Joe.
I don't even like you.
Wait, so you can pay beaver pelts for tickets?
Oh, trade, not shave. I don't want to start any false rumors.
Okay. Well, I think you already have.
Yeah, you might have already.
I probably have. But, you know, I got to say one thing about what the Penguins are doing is totally awesome. There's good intentions all around it with everything that's going on. But the one thing I'm maybe a little bit concerned about is, okay, so with those first four home games, if they're offering all this free food, how many fans are going to come down to the arena and decide that they don't want to go out to eat beforehand or something like that? It's going to take away from the local restaurants or anything like that before and after the game. And it's sort of a side factor. But then the argument is, well, those people are going to do that anyway because it's part of the night out for them. Mm-hmm. And I hope it is, because those people have suffered way too much this lockout, more than anybody else.
I'll play devil's advocate here for a minute, because it's just a thought. I agree with you, but I'm just thinking from this as a business fan perspective, because I got on Twitter today, and I'm not going to name anyone specific because I saw a number of people doing this. There were a lot of people who were complaining about this, as they always do. The Penguins fans are really good at bitching about nothing at all. No offense, but they really are.
Nobody got time for that. We don't have more.
And a lot of people were wanting more. They were talking about, well, I think it'd be great if the Penguins did this, or I think it'd be great if they gave away this, gave away that. Wouldn't you think, as hockey fans, that now would be the time that you would expecting the least amount of free stuff? I mean, it seems to me like the league is probably in a position where they should be trying to be as financially conservative as possible, right?
Yeah, but that's the great thing about Mary Lemieux. not to say that this is, definitively his decision, but, he is the owner of the team, and it does come back to him. And these are the people he's hired to be in these roles for marketing and things like that, and he is okayed. Don't for a second think that he didn't have his hands in a decision that is, okay, yeah, all concessions are free. Yeah, Mary Lemieux touched that decision, that's for sure. But Mary Lemieux has gone through so much in this town of doing and doing and doing and giving back to the community, giving to the city, giving to the state, giving to the state of hockey in general, giving to the National Hockey League, and everybody has just spit right back in his face every step of the way. And what has he done for it all? He's just turned the other cheek and done something else like this, where he's completely grateful and completely full of grace with everything that's going on. So Mary Lemieux is a far better man than I or you or Nick or Andy or anybody else in Pittsburgh.
Well,
that's why he's man of the year.
I mean, most people are better men than you. And we know that, but yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I think it actually, my point that I was trying to make is I think it actually speaks to, what the Penguins are doing. It is, a lot of people don't think, oh, it's only four games and all the merchandise is already marked up to an unbelievable price anyway, but it really, they are losing a lot of money by doing this, and it is a significant sacrifice. And Penguins are – the thing about the Penguins, I understand Ron Burkle and the ownership groups of the Pittsburgh Penguins, they don't – I mean, they're very wealthy people. I'm not going to be naive about that. But the Penguins are not the Philadelphia Flyers. They're not the New York Rangers. They're not the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're not really a big market team at all. They've been very successful, and they have made a lot of money because of the on-ice product and because of the players that they have on their roster over the last few years. But they're not – this isn't a team that could just throw around money and not really put a lot of thought in what they do and not be financially precise.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they're immediately countering these other teams by offering something like that in addition to what, you know, Nick talked about earlier in the show, the pizza, the student rush, all that stuff, which they're still continuing to do, and they have done in high-profile playoff games, even after the team won the Stanley Cup, even after the team has had Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, mm-hmm. all these big names. It just, you know, it's just one thing after another. So even if you're not, if you're listening to the show and you're a Philadelphia fan or a Boston fan or whatever, you do have to show respect to what it is due to the Penguins organization for the fact that they're willing to take a big financial hit for that. And like Ken said, Marilyn Mew is a really solid guy for doing this. I think it does show how dedicated he is to the fans in the city and just making sure that the NHL is not only here to stay in Pittsburgh, because it really wasn't that long ago that that was an issue, but it's here to stay and be financially prosperous for a long time.
And they did it quick. They didn't wait around on it. So they had a plan coming out of the lockout for what they were going to do. That's what bothers me about the NHL, is that I'm sure they're going to do some things for the fans. I'm positive of it. But why are they waiting so long? I understand wanting to make sure the deal is 100% totally done and official, but God, just get rid of all the bureaucracy for just a second or shave some of it off. Give us a little bit of something. At least don't reply and say, I'll tell you when the time is appropriate when you're asked a question about it. Okay, man? Freaking smile. When you smile, don't look like Bozo the Clown ready to stab Chucky in the face with a steak knife.
Dude, what in the hell are you talking about right now?
Talking about Gary Bettman at the press conference. Did you watch that thing?
Yeah, I did. It's just, I just didn't, that wasn't the analogy I was expecting. Okay, I got you. I appreciate the emotion. I appreciate the emotion.
Dude is a menace.
Yeah.
He must be stopped.
Well, no one is going to, even me, who likes to kind of play the devil's advocate of things in situations like this, even I can't sit there and defend Gary Bettman. He's a jackass, and we all know that. If he ever is able to put his hands on the Stanley Cup again, they should build the new Stanley Cup from scratch.
Yeah, and Mish brings up a good point on Twitter that Ron Burkle deserves just as much credit here in all of this, and Marilyn Mew found the perfect partner for him, and Ron Burkle is that guy, and Burkle should also be credited for everything that he did to try to end the lockout back in December as well. You know, he's a guy who doesn't like to get his hands involved in those kind of in those settings, but when he needs to, he was there for the Penguins in the arena deal. He was there for the Penguins, whatever, Sidney Crosby or anybody else just to fly in his private jet. He's mm-hmm. there for the Penguins, whatever, and the whole league, whenever we're talking about the lockout. And ending that and trying to get some sensible people in the room. Ron Burkle is there, and he's there to also sign off on these decisions. So Ron Burkle deserves credit just as much.
Yeah.
And so is David Morehouse. I mean, he's done a great job, too. He's been very sincere in everything he does. The Penguins brass, I mean, they're very wealthy people. There's no question about that. But there's a difference between being wealthy and actually using your wealth for a good purpose, the way this organization is, and there's a difference between using it for corporate greed, a la Gary Bettman.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have some people tweeting about this, too. Stevie from High Heels Hockey says, they are great. It's expensive to be at a game, eating for free and buying gear for cheap helps offset the ticket price. Zach Lamar says, not only does it help getting spectators, it shows the franchise is dedicated to make the experience great even after the lockout. Penguins certainly won't have an issue getting any spectators, but nonetheless, a fair point. Andrew King says, they make like 18% of total revenue from food and merchandise. To me, this is a good way to say, hey, our bad. Eric Kajewski says, they have around 16,000 season tickets sold, so technically they didn't need to do anything to get people back in. Nice move, in his opinion. And so a lot of people agreeing with us. Sports Fanatic says, it's a great gesture. I just wish the offer for merchandise will be half off online as well during those four games.
Yeah, and the the concession issue is exactly how the Pittsburgh Pirates actually managed to make money in any given year. And what can you say about that organization as far as fan relations goes?
Not too good. Lots of bobbleheads and fireworks. I think we're having some connection issues.
That's all right. We don't need those other freaks. NHL Network is, I was watching today to see maybe if we had something kind of resonate with them. It didn't. It was all repeats and all that kind of stuff. But the repeats today were the best of series. And that's actually, I mean, I like what they did there. It was cool the first time there, but even today it was neat to watch because they had Washington Capitals and Pittsburgh Penguins in 2009, and then they showed 2009 Stanley Cup Finals with Detroit, followed by 2009 Stanley Cup Finals with Detroit, and I watched it twice. I guess that says something about me.
NHL Network's always fun to watch. I mean, there's always some good stuff on there. I always check to make sure to see what's on there, but I think NHL Live will be starting up next week. With Steve Mears,
yeah.
So
with Steve Mears, Steve yep. Mears, and I think we got confirmation that he and EJ Hradec
yes.
are both going to be co-hosting that. So it'll be fun to watch. Good to see Steve moving on. He is moving away from Pittsburgh, and looks like he's going to be living in New York. So we won't have him on Penguins Radio in any way anymore. But best wishes to him. He's been. He's been great. I was hoping, down the pipeline we'd see him call on games for the Penguins. And, you never know. It may end up happening. But good things happening for Steve Mears and other people in the Pens organization. Man, you got to work with him there for a while, Hughes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's a very hardworking guy, very, very deserving. Learned a lot from just watching him and listening to him. Just learned a ton, just a great guy. And like I said, certainly deserving. So I wish the best to Steve Mears as well. I'm sure he'll do a great job down at the NHL Network.
Yeah. The first team that has been previewed on the Penguins Nation website, all that has transpired. And Andy, since you wrote the article, why don't you tell us a little bit about all the things that have happened to Carolina? Obviously, Pens fans know.
Yeah.
That a certain center was sent their way, and they'll be playing with Jordan Staal and Eric Staal on the same roster. What else is going on in Hurricane Land?
Yeah, well, certainly, yeah, we all remember the draft day trade that sent Jordan Staal to the Hurricanes, and then they later added Alex Semin. He's an interesting one. The Pens were linked to him for a while, but I'm glad that he ended up going to the Hurricanes. Got $7 million, $300,000 increase from last season. There's still a lot of questions to whether, is he committed or, which Alexander Semin are the Carolina Hurricanes going to get. Certainly he's going to be playing with some good players if Jordan Staal and Eric Staal do play on the same line, which I think they will. So that first line is pretty dynamic with the two Stalls and Alexander Semin. Another thing is they signed Joe Corvo. I think how many stints has Joe Corvo had with the Hurricanes?
I think this is his third time.
Yeah,
in
Carolina.
Third.
Just on and off, on and off. So he's back. They added Tim Wallace as well. We'll see where he fits in. Obviously, they lost Brandon Sutter. Defenseman Brian Allen went to the Anaheim Ducks. Derek Jocelyn went to the Canucks. So. They've lost Brandon Sutter, but they were able to replace him with Jordan Staal, so definitely an upgrade there offensively. Not sure on the defensive side, but they did lose, like I said, Brian Allen, Brian Dumoulin, and Jocelyn. So lost a lot of defensemen, but they're hoping that their defenseman, Ryan Murphy, their top prospect, can come up. So we'll have to see what he can do. And then, in goal, they still have Cam Ward. He's obviously pretty good, and they have a lot of options behind him, too, with Justin Peters, Brian Boucher. So Carolina certainly could do well this season, but they haven't made the playoffs in 3 years, so they're hoping that these kind of big off-season moves can kind of force them back into the playoffs. We'll have to see what they can do.
I would be absolutely shocked if the Carolina Hurricanes are not in the postseason this year. And I think that they are, I don't want to say a favorite to come out of the Eastern Conference, but I would definitely say that they are one of the teams, once you get past of the big names up front, the Pittsburghs, the New Yorks, the Bostons of the Eastern Conference, once you get past those, I think Carolina is leading the pack of the second-tier teams in the Eastern Conference. They have an elite top-flight goalie, all-world goalie in Cam Ward, and up front, the talent is just otherworldly. The one thing that I would say about Carolina that does knock them down a notch as opposed to where they were a couple weeks ago is the injury to Tuomo Vucevic, which is going to sideline him until May. If they make the postseason, which I think they still can without him, they may be a 7 or 8 seed. It's going to be a lot of parity from the 4th seed down in the East. But if they can get in and they can get Ritu back and he plays well, they can get strong play out of guys like Tim Gleason on the back end. And Cam Ward gets hot in the postseason, which he has certainly done before. Carolina has made 2 trips deep into the Eastern Conference and has won a championship with Cam Ward between the pipes. I absolutely think Carolina could be the dark horse in the Eastern Conference if they can weather the storm of Vucevic's injury.
How weird is it that Jordan Staal is going to be centering Alex Semin?
That's true. It is strange. And Semin's going to be playing in a contract here, and with the way he's
every year is a contract
year
for
the league.
Semin.
Well, that's sort of my point, is that he's sort of running out of situations to do that in the NHL. And I think with where he's at, this is sort of his Marian Hossa with the Detroit Red Wings kind of one-year stint to prove that he still can be an elite goal scorer in the NHL, which physically he is capable of being one of the top players in this league. If he can keep his head on straight and bust his ass for the 48 games of the season, Alex Semin could be a huge get for them. And with Jussi Jokinen already at wing, both the Staal brothers could have huge seasons. If they both do and the defense is even tolerable and Cam Ward looks like he did last season, Carolina is going to be a very difficult team to play night in and night out with their new coaching system and new coaching staff.
Yeah, and Carolina is, as far as the Southeast Conference goes, you have some Florida Panthers who I'm really excited to watch because by all stretch, they should be so much more improved than they were in the last couple of seasons. And where the Washington Capitals end up falling because of all of this, and all history aside with them, they might be in the playoff bubble this year, if not sitting on the outside looking in, especially in that Southeast Conference, because it's going to be – we talked about how competitive the Atlantic Conference or division is, but the Southeast Division is going to be just as competitive, and you're playing them so much. Talking about 3 teams making it per division, there will probably be 3 teams making it from the Atlantic Division. Are you going to be 3 teams to make it from the Southeast as well? Washington Capitals, Carolina Hurricanes – you're looking on the bubble as far as that goes, and I'm with Joe. My money's on the Carolina Hurricanes if I have to choose between the two of them.
Washington will be in the postseason, but I don't think I disagree completely there. I think they're the favorites to win that division, and I wouldn't say substantial because I think Tampa Bay is really good, and I do like Florida as well. But there's no way that the Washington Capitals are going to miss the playoffs. Adam Oates is a perfect coaching hire for them.
That's part of my concern, though.
Braden Holtby is legit. They're a completely new system than what they played under Bruce Boudreau. They're more ready for that. Ovechkin will have a big bounce back here. Backstrom's an elite center. Mike Ribeiro will help. Leick is good. Ward's good. Brower's good. Kamara's good. Perreault's good. Jay Beagle's good. Marcus Johansson's due for a breakout year. Kendricks is good. Wojciech Wolski, bringing him in, is going to help. You've got a Carl Alstner's a year more better. John Carlson's a year better. Mike Green's solid. Hammerlick had a good year last year. Pody's healthy. Schultz is healthy. Holtby's the real deal. I think Washington is a legit contender to come out of the Eastern Conference.
Ain't nobody want to hear that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, one of the things though with their new coach and Adam Oates is
if you look at what he's done so far in Hershey, it hasn't been that impressive unless it's against the Wilkes-Barre team and Wilkes-Barre system. And that might bode not so well for the Pens this season if they have to run into those guys in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest thing will be turnaround and getting things and systems in place and doing it shortly, and then not having any kind of early season growing pains as far as the team go carry too long or too many weeks along. But you never know. They could come together and could be extremely focused team and not have any trouble whatsoever. They certainly have the talent, as Joe Hepto pointed out. It's putting it together and putting it all moving forward on the ice will be the next step. The other big news today is Vladimir Putin getting pretty involved in the guys who play in the KAHL, and if you want to talk about free concessions and half off merchandise being a bribe, about $30 million to stay and play in the KHL in one lump sum.
Man, oh man!
First of all, imagine if Barack Obama, dropped $30 on Ryan Malone to stay in the United States or to play for the United States Olympic team.
Let's get a little bit higher up the American hockey player food chain. Let's use Jonathan Quick or somebody that's actually an elite player.
Zach Parise.
Yeah, Parise. No, I hear you, though. It's unbelievable. I think it says a lot about the KHL. It's no surprise that they've kind of been a snake in the grass for a while, wanting to sort of pounce on the NHL, and any opportunity they can to exploit the NHL's weaknesses, they will. He also provided me a really solid mental image of Barack Obama, like, campaigning in front of Congress for this. Trying to get Jonathan Quick to stay.
Oh, God.
What fiscal cliff?
Now, everybody, look. Jonathan Quick is going to stay here in the United States.
I don't know if you understand what kind of talent we're dealing with here.
Forward.
We're going to provide $30 million in relief on the forecheck, on the back check, and between the pipes.
All aspects of the game.
This is what we need to do. We need to create Obama's pitch for giving $30 million to some hockey player. Whether it's getting
that
to Ken Kovalchuk.
That'll go over so well with all the taxpayers that love football and go to hockey. Like the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God, that tweet.
That was amazing.
We've been without an NHL hockey too long. So now I'm going to throw $30 billion into the players.
Now, look. We've talked about bailouts, and when it comes to providing the NHL with relief, I get it. I've been there. But Tim Thomas is not going to Switzerland.
He's going to come back to the NHL.
I love Tim Thomas. He's one of my boys.
Dustin Brown, what can Brown do for you? He can stay in the United States of America.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, man. That's such a strange thing for Putin to be getting involved with. That's $90 million. How much money does Russia have sitting around?
Apparently a lot.
KHL's loaded, man.
Yeah, it's all the oil.
Yeah, it is. He's right.
And the population per capita over there.
It's all tax-free.
All the Polish Americans put up in mansions. They all got free jerseys and stuff, too.
Sup, Jones.
Out of Russia. But. Then also, over here, we have wasn't our $30 million man Vladimir Putin? What was it I was thinking?
Feder Tutin.
Feder
Tutin.
Feder Tutin.
Feder Tutin. Hey, he's coming out here to Columbus to watch Feder Tutin play.
We're going to throw $30 million toward Feder Tutin.
Oh, God.
Watch all of America go, what?
Well, I am.
Who? Feder Tutin. Throw a football, 100 yards. American.
America.
I do not recall what I was thinking, but Brian Burke is still fired.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and we have no idea why still.
That's not an explanation I do believe we will be getting. We're all,
no, I don't think so.
There's so many things you can speculate about. I think it's way more. The speculations are more fun than the actual explanation.
I just read, we were talking about this earlier, about different teams providing incentives for fans trying to win them back over. Nashville announced theirs earlier in the evening. I didn't mention this. Buy a ticket to Nashville's opening night game, and you would get a free ticket to Nashville's second home game. They're doing a similar situation with Pittsburgh. They're doing 50% off all soda and domestic draft beer for both games. So there's going to be a lot of drunk people in Nashville for those games. I tell you what, man, that David Legwall.
I tell you what, there's a possibility for that to happen here, too, because now all these fans are not going to have to pay $5 for a hot dog. So they're like, all of a sudden, I've got $5 of beer money, or whatever. I mean, by the end of the night, I mean, each voucher is, three items, basically? Yep. That's at least
three beers. Or you can just start selling your voucher to people.
Yeah. It's going to be like Lord of the Flies inside of CEC. Where beer is the currency.
We can organize, we can get some kind of 3 hours of organized crime activity to happen within Sol Energy Center that night.
Oh, God.
The biggest complaint I heard is that you cannot get Burgatory or Permandy Brothers.
Well, that was expected, I think.
First of all, then you're not taking money away from the Penguins, or it's not the Penguins offering it. You're taking money away from the restaurants. Again, like we were saying, taking the money away from the restaurants and the businesses who have already suffered the most. You're not going to get the money from Permanente Brothers, Burgatory, TGI Fridays, any of those places.
No. It'll be strictly those concession stands. Nothing like Purgatory or anything like that.
It could be mayhem, though. All the fans that probably leave early probably think he could use those anywhere in the arena. And those lines are going to be ridiculous, too, by the way. They'll be standing in these lines just to get their free stuff, and then to get up to the front of Permane Brothers and not be able to use their voucher, they're going to be livid and want like a free jersey or a free car or college education or $30 million.
College education.
They're going to take it across the street to the Super Bowl.
So yeah, the upper bowl console is going to look like, I mean, it's going to look like the parkway in Squirrel Hill Tunnels at like 5 o'clock on a Friday. It's going to be so backed up. It's going to be difficult to wait in those lines, and
mm-hmm.
people are going to complain. And
it'll be the worst game. It's going to be horrible. I don't even. Let's just get back to the lockout and get to the important stuff. I missed the boardroom.
You missed the podium.
Podium Tron.
Oh, it was so good to see the podium the other day, wasn't it? It's like an old friend.
I guess. Anything else anyone wants to get off their chest before we land this thing?
Get off their chest. I think we all have something to bitch about.
I'm complaining because I didn't get tons of free stuff today.
Well, I'm looking.
I don't have
a waiting for more.
Coming to drive me to work every day.
It's a shame.
I'm kind of intrigued. I'm wondering what else I can get. If I hold out just a bit longer, maybe Donald Fair can negotiate some more prizes for me.
We can get some HRR.
Yeah, tap into some of that.
Dallas Stars have announced that Jaromir Jagr will skate with the Penguins, not the Penguins.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, Lord.
I heard on Ken the Penguins radio show.
Go ahead, start a Jagr watch.
Hey, Jaromir Jagr's going to be skating at practice tomorrow.
Does that mean we're going to sign him?
Hey, Jagr watch, it's back on. I heard it on the Penguins Nation radio show.
No. Jaromir Jagr will be skating with Stars teammates for the first time on Friday morning, 10:40 a.m. Media availability will follow tomorrow. So.
Oh, boy.
Totally forgot that happened. Penguins won't see Jaromir Jagr at all this season unless it's in the Stanley Cup Finals. But
I don't know if that'll happen.
You don't have faith in Alex Goligoski?
No.
Kari Lehtinen, baby.
So hard to believe those two are the top paid players on the team, Goligoski and Jagr. And Ray Whitney, for that matter. He's close.
What's the average age of that team? My goodness.
I know. That's what I was about to say. Jeez.
Great. He's like 85. A lot of better.
It might literally, I mean, the stairs in the arena might be the hill they die on.
There's so many jokes that can come out of that now.
Nobody gets on there.